Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
Welcome to the Magnolia Lobby Studio of the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center. It is the radio television home of Coffee, Country, and Cody. This month, 30 years I celebrate. The 25th is actually my anniversary. A couple of weeks away, 2 weeks from last night, and we've got a special Opry Country Classics planned. Larry Gatlin and Charlie Matos and I are going to do. In studio, Charlie Matos across the way. That's all that Portuguese goodness, ladies. Huh? Yeah, some of that. And then Annie Nye is in the back, studio director. It's her rookie run solo as a studio director on the show. Great to have her. She's been with us for like 4 years, but finally felt safe enough to open the door and walk in here.
There we go.
Yeah. So we put it at work.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Roberts is in master control at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, he won't come within a half mile of us.
No. And for the people who have called us to go, do you know that your terrestrial signal is off the air? Yes, we are aware of that. For those of you who have switched to the stream, we are taking, I am sure, knowing our engineering staff, Charlie, wouldn't you agree, heroic measures right now to restore power to the 50,000-watt transmitter?
We're flying to Concord Road as we speak, taking the Colin Reed corporate helicopter.
And
I hope he's listening this morning.
Yeah, and as a part of our Opry and Country Music Hall of Fame family, Vince Gill is celebrating a 67th birthday today. So that's at the top of celebrity news. A lot of other things going on we'll catch up on. New music from Tyler Hubbard, Riley Green, Connie Smith. All the details I'll be filling in for Kelly, because Kelly is working with her daughter, who is a wonderful singer and actress and goes to Christ Presbyterian here in Nashville. And Reese has a starring role.
She does.
Is it Rapunzel?
Into the Woods.
Into the Woods?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yes.
There's a Rapunzel.
Rapunzel and the witch are the main characters.
Okay.
Yes.
And so Kelly volunteered. This is what you get. You PTA, PTO parents out there know what I'm talking about. You get asked to do things and you do them voluntarily. In this case, hair and makeup for 70 cast members of Into the Woods.
All right.
It's like, well, who else is helping you? No, just me.
70.
Yeah.
We did Oklahoma in Cumberland High School with about eight.
Tell them your starring role.
Ali Hakam, in Cumberland, Rhode Island, Portuguese passes for Persian. That's my life. So. And speaking of the birthday boy, we're going to rewind to the Opry in just a few minutes with Vince and Paul Franklin and Sonia Isaacs.
Yeah, doing Ray Price stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Meet Walker County on Coffee, Country, and Cody. The sisters Ivy Danae and Sophie Dawn are here this morning. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you
ladies.
So much.
We're already catching up over the air, all the people we know in common. And
yes.
Your story, though it may be new to a lot of people who are watching or listening this morning, actually is 10 years in the making in what has over the years been known as a 10-year town.
It is. Yep. It's so true. Moving to Nashville, we heard it and we were like, no way, not for us. And 10 years later, it's a 10-year town for us.
Well, shoot, you're right.
That ain't going to be us. No.
So what was the first year like? What all went on in your first year in town?
Yeah, it was crazy. So Sophie and I had been playing music since we were 9 and 12, coming down to Nashville, playing street performing, playing Rippies, Tootsies, all those things. And then moving to Nashville in 2014, I had just graduated high school, but we're from like a town of 390 people. Moving to Nashville was a culture shock.
Shout out to the hometown.
Yes. Sulphur Springs, Indiana, baby.
Hey, Sulphur Springs.
So the last car goes by at night, Charlie. Sulphur Springs, Indiana.
Sure.
That's it.
But Nashville was so crazy that first year. It was super intimidating. We had just written together our whole childhood and
going and
being thrown in rooms with these songwriters who were,
incredible.
The talent is insane.
And you mentioned one of the first was Sonia Isaacs, who we just heard with Vince Gill.
Yeah, we got to write with Sonia quite a bit in that first year, and she was such a sweetheart. Just took us under her wing, and she's amazing. But that first year, it was scary. Sophie and I had to do a lot of learning, and throughout this 10 years, grew up a lot in this town.
It'll test your patience, won't it?
Yeah,
because nothing happens on your timeline.
Absolutely.
But you need encouragement along the way, and boy, the CMA's been great. You were part of the Listen Up program, the Next Women of Country, and it's things like that that just kind of keep you going, right?
It is. Totally. It's why we do it, and Ivy and I, we love to tour, so going on the road and meeting people, it really does keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a residency?
We don't. No. We need
have
one.
You along the way?
We've done a lot of touring with like opening acts. Uh-huh. We mm-hmm. opened up for Old Dominion, Willie Nelson, Loretta Lynn,
Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, my hat. But yeah, and we're hoping, you know, this summer we have a lot of festivals coming up. We're hoping to get on a tour as well. So.
But you mentioned Tootsie's. There's nothing like 4-hour set there that'll test your chops,
yes,
right?
Especially as a 11-year-old, 12-year-old. Yeah, it will. You know, I learned those long sets where, you know. That's where we learn how to play to crowds that we're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I looked it up. Sulphur Springs' current population is 399.
See? Yeah. Yep. And now with us gone, it's, yeah.
So you took away their 400 opportunity.
We did.
Right?
We did.
So where would have been the first place you would have played? Maybe church?
Church, yeah. Definitely. I grew up singing in church. I think our first gig was at a festival. Sophie played mandolin at the time, and mm-hmm. We played with our dad. We played a lot of bluegrass gospel music starting out, and then that's when we slowly built up over the years playing weddings, festivals, funerals. Got paid in barbecue sandwiches for the first
just
5 years.
Anywhere people would
just
listen.
Anywhere they'd listen to us. But and then Sophie got behind the drum kit and she rocks out on the drums now. It's we have a ball. Yeah.
Charlie, in downtown Sulphur Springs, Indiana.
Right.
1,000 degree wood fired pizza.
I'm a fan of the wood fired
pizza.
Man. What's the name of the place?
1,000 degree.
Oh, that's the name of the place.
Wood fired.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
It's really good, too.
They try to keep the temperature for the pizza a little less than that.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
That's great. 1,000 degrees pizza is awesome. And they have a little place called the Iron Kettle. Yeah.
Well, next time you guys come back, we'll take
we'll bring it. Okay.
We'll call pizza. It's perfectly fine with that.
Well, you've been featured, Charlie referenced a number of things that you've been involved in. CMA's Listen Up campaign.
Yeah.
You said Next Women of Country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now Warner Brothers has come into your life.
Well, that was, so we actually left Warner. Uh-huh. This is the big step that we took. We had been signed to Warner Music Nashville for 9 years. Mm-hmm. When we moved to town, we had the deal. It was a really crazy experience how that all happened. And we were signed for 9 years. Kind of spun in circles for a little bit with that, and this last March we took the step to be independent and make this record with our great friend Paul Sykes, who's the co-writer on every one of these songs that's on the record, and we're just so thrilled. It was very empowering. We kind of lost ourselves in the mix of I think a lot of young girls go through this, young people anyway, and you want to please a lot of people, and you want to please the people who are...
Lots of opinions going around and telling you what you need to be trying and doing, and, you know, over years of hearing that and writing songs that, you know, we love, and then maybe hearing that they're not good enough or, like, what they want from us.
And then
we lost ourselves,
changes at the label.
Absolutely.
And then the direction changes.
Absolutely.
Just when you thought you were going one direction.
Yeah. Exactly.
You got new management, new folks, day to day.
Totally. Yeah. And it was just crazy. So this last March, we were thankful for that season of our life. It made us grow up. But we were ready to take it into our own hands and make the record we'd always wanted to make. These songs had been in our back pocket for the last 9 years. Some of them from 2015 on. And we're just so proud of this record because we did it ourselves and our way. So
it's called Painted Pony.
Yes.
We'll get the backstory on that too.
Well, we got to go back to the first thing you literally said when you walked in, because you said we used to come to the theme park when we were kids and we'd look in those windows and say, so we're going to be in there someday.
You were Opryland vacation kids?
We loved coming and going through the hotel. Mm-hmm. And it was the most magical thing ever. We had never seen anything like it in Sulphur Springs, Indiana.
Oh, no. They don't have this there.
We were like, and the mall was so big. We had to drive an hour to the closest mall. So this was insane.
In 2007, when we first came here and street performed, me and Ivy made a little bit of money within like an hour, and dad let us split it, and we went to Opry Mills Mall. And I'm pretty sure I bought a Build-A-Bear, you know? So,
when I first moved here in 1990, my program director said, well, let me show you around town. I'll take you to the Opryland Hotel. I'm like, you're taking me to a hotel? I didn't understand. Then I got here, and I'm like, oh, I understand
now. Yeah, I get it.
This place is pretty crazy.
So, with your personalities, do you find that you guys are, I mean, just identical, or is it one of those things where you're completely complete opposites.
You know, music-wise, starting so young together, we definitely have the same taste. Like, we hardly ever, you know, have disagreements on the music side of things. Now, clothing, that is where we get into the fights over.
We get fights. Yeah. Maybe it is because we're a lot alike, but I'm definitely more of the little sisters. You can tell Ivy takes the lead and talks for me a lot. And we love it because I'm not a talker.
I don't think so. We talked till she was 5 years old because I said
everything. She just did it for me, you know? It was nice. She's my spokesperson.
But no, it's fun.
When does how does Kelly Clarkson find out about you and invite you to come be on the show?
That was amazing. She tweeted about us.
I think 2019.
Yeah. And we were in shock that she even knew who it was. She said she found us on YouTube and went down a rabbit hole of Walker County videos, and that was just insane to even
think about
because I remember staying up and watching her on American Idol, and I was like in first grade when that was all going on. So Kelly Clarkson has been a musical idol to us since we were little girls. Yes. So that was crazy. And then her reaching out for the show was a dream come true. And it was all during COVID time. So that was kind of a different like experience. We flew out and everybody in the audience was on screens and, you know, it was, it's, I think it's a lot different than it is now. So we'd love to go back, but Kelly, if you're listening, no, it was great. We had such a fun time and got to experience LA and all that. It was awesome. Yeah.
So Walker County comes from your family's last name.
Yeah,
and your daddy shares a name with a very famous Grand Ole Opry star, the late Billy Walker.
Billy Walker.
He does, for sure.
And knowing you were coming, I saw that name pop up. I said, Billy Walker?
Yeah.
When would they have worked with Billy Walker?
I love it.
That's their daddy.
It's our dad, yes.
Walker is our last name. We grew up on the Walker family farm. Mm-hmm. Every Walker lived about a field away from each other. And we grew up in FFA 4-H, loved the farm life, and our family is very special to us. And when you go through Sulphur Springs, it's so small. Mm-hmm. That one patch of Walker Farm seems big. So it was our own little Walker County. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's how it came up.
So that's a Walker place. You know, we drive by.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of like Loretta Lynn's story. You know, Butcher Holler was the last name of a family that shared the Holler with the Webbs.
Oh, my goodness.
So you would have these geographic locations that were just named after the people who lived there.
Makes sense.
Butcher Holler had the Butchers and the Webs.
We're still trying to convince our town to have a sign or something for us.
Oh, you get it. You get it.
One of these days, maybe.
I'll tell you what, Walker County. Put up your own.
Yeah,
see if they take it down.
This is WSM's Coffee, Country, and Cody.
And we're here with Walker County, the sisters Ivy and Sophie. And the family name is Walker. That's where, hence the name of the band. And you've been joined by a fella who's kind of fallen into the league of extraordinary gentlemen in country music of late.
Exactly.
Paul Sykes just sat down. And I said, Paul Sykes, Charlie, who was bragging on Paul Sykes the other day? Cindy Thompson with brand new music. And the Georgia in Me, which you co-wrote, right?
That's right.
How about that? Yes. And you are a unicorn because you're a Middle Tennessee boy.
That's right.
Born in Nashville, raised in Clarksville.
Yep.
Went all that way in one lifetime.
It's been quite a life.
And he's a preacher's kid, I found out, too. Mm-hmm. So I have unity finally there you here go. In the studio. Yes. Yeah.
Do you find yourself lost because nothing is what it used to be? I mean, this city does not resemble the city you were born in, right?
I'm always lost. Yeah. I never know where I'm at any given time. Yeah. Where are we now?
So tell me how you meet these girls. What, to your ear, your musical ear, said, hey, I want to work with them.
Yeah, so like the girl said, they signed a record deal in, I guess, late 2014, and we met in January 2015. We wrote our first song together, had an instant rapport, and just wrote a pretty good song for the first time. And we've just grown in friendship and musicality and just kept writing together. And now I kind of feel like I'm an honorary family member of the Walkers. Definitely. You know, we're definitely, they're like sisters to me. And Billy and Janice, their parents, you know, they've just been amazing. And so we just all become very close over the years, and we've gotten to make this record we're very proud of, and
I'm curious, did co-writing come easily to you? Because I mean, growing up, you write songs, but you don't make appointments to be creative. Yeah. You just write them when you want to write them. It's a weird thing to make an appointment to
it
be
is.
Creative.
And for us, it was like almost going on a first date over and over again, because we would go into this room with this stranger we've never met, have to get
Tell
to know them very
story.
Quickly, and then pour your heart and soul into a song. And so we definitely had to learn. But I think in the first year we lived here, we wrote 150 songs. So they made us go through boot camp, basically.
A lot of different people, like,
and it was
we wrote
all
with
a different
friends.
Person.
Yeah.
So by that second year, we were like, we're out of ideas. Like, we need a little break. So, I mean, it was definitely like, it was definitely writer's boot camp they put us through that first year. But we're thankful it went that way because it really just threw us into the deep end. And, but yeah, with Paul, it just was like this instant friendship.
It was so easy too.
And we were like, man, these songs, they're so good. And over the years, we just kept on like, this one's great. This one's great. This one's great. So he co-wrote every song that's on Painted Ponies.
Oh, so you got a second date.
He did.
Callback.
Yes, exactly.
Ivy and Sophie are here, Walker County, and they're gonna play and sing for us right now. What are you What are you doing first?
This song is called "Handwritten,"
and it's one of those we wrote in 2015.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's just
been around that long.
It's the test of time, and it's just so good. Yeah,
that is sweet, sweet stuff. You know what it reminded me of? What was that line in there about being pursued in cursive?
Oh yes, yep.
And it reminds me of the Civil War documentary from Ken Burns where they would read those war letters.
Oh, I know. Yes. I'm telling you, they just
pick different stars to read. Ugh.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So let me guess. You have a thing for glasses.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying to make it my thing.
You know? Oh, yeah? Okay.
It's trying to work.
Well, we just met, and so far, so good. I mean, when you walked in with the blue tinted lenses. The big rims.
Oh, thank
I thought,
you.
That's her probably.
It's fine.
Your strong weakness.
There we go.
Glasses when you go online, start shopping, or
yes,
you're
it
the
is.
Optometrist.
Well, I had to wear glasses since I was 5 years old. I'm almost legally blind. So glasses have been like my thing all growing up. And then I switched to contacts. And now, of course, I'm going back to glasses. So I'm sure my parents could kill me. But all those years of paying for glasses and contacts, and then I buy sunglasses and wear them.
So we referenced Painted Ponies.
Yes.
Today is release day.
It is.
Were you guys up at like midnight to like
yep.
make the first click to see who's clicking right now? Who's buying it?
Post all the posts. Yeah. Comment back to everyone, and already a great response.
So how did you narrow it down to that title, Painted Ponies?
You know, it was cool. So when we had this idea last year, it was Sophie's birthday. Mm-hmm. Paul was like, let's make a record together. Let's do this. So he came over, and we sat down in our living room and sat on the floor and just listened to every mm-hmm. song we had written together that we felt some kind of connection to. And I remember I was like, hey, I'm going to throw on Painted Ponies. We wrote it years ago, and it's...
We never did a demo.
We never did a demo.
Just work tape. And it was so beautiful. We were all like left speechless.
We forgot
and we're like,
about this one, that kind of reaction.
We skip over this one like for so many years, you know? And we're like, well, we're definitely cutting it. And then when we cut it, it just felt, the ending of it just felt like the movie credits rolling.
Yeah.
And we were like, man, this has to end the record, you know.
I listened to the whole thing on the way in. That was my one thought. I said, boy, this flows really well. I still like albums. I mean, I love songs.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I make playlists. But I love listening to something as the artist wanted me to hear it.
Absolutely.
From start to finish. So,
And I think it's a journey. Painted Ponies is all about not being able to get off the carousel and ride off into the sunset. And that was definitely like correlated mm-hmm. and was poetic to our mm-hmm. journey as artists mm-hmm. in town.
So wherever you get your music, it is available right here, right now from Walker County, available today. Walker County, thank you so much, ladies, for getting up early and coming in. Congratulations on release day for Painted Ponies today.
Thank you. We appreciate you so much.
Yes, it only took 10 years.
Yeah, only 10 years, that's it.
Free coffee, Staples, country, and coding on WSM.
Visit staples.com/print for details.
This is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
And this is our first meeting and in-studio visit with Jess Lee. Welcome
Hi.
To Coffee, Country, and Cody, lady.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to pop in and hang with you guys.
Well, the title of the new single, even if you've never heard it, it's just one of those that intrigues you. I want to hear it. Slow Dance Around It.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But let's get caught up on you and The Voice season 14.
Yes, I was on season 14.
And you got a two-chair turn from Blake Shelton and arch nemesis Kelly Clarkson.
I know. Best friend. It's all playful and fun.
His arch nemesis.
Yep.
On the
but
show.
They did get very competitive on my season for sure. And she, you know, that was the first season that she had come on the show too. So mm-hmm. it was funny because she came in with like... you know, vengeance.
Listen.
Like she really wanted to prove herself. So
I saw an outtake one day where Blake said, hey, are we clear? And they said, yeah. Now remember, these are outtakes. Mm-hmm. This is what's rolling when you're not watching.
It
gets edited. He said, I got to go to the bathroom. Well, he starts across the floor, and Kelly yells, oh, man, bladder, oh, man, bladder, and the whole crew and everybody.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. I didn't see that outtake, but, you know, they're definitely, you think that they were legit, like, real brother and sister.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, with the way they tease each other. And I love it.
So Loxahatchee, Florida is home. Tell us about Loxahatchee and growing up and your grandparents at, what, nine or whatever. I read that that's when you really professed an interest in the music business.
Yeah, you know, I have a really, really complex, crazy story. Music, I've always been absolutely obsessed with it. Music for the longest time for me was truly a form of therapy. It was a form for me to just be able to know that I had a constant that I could count on, to be very honest with you. It was very much before, too, I was really diving into my faith. And, you know, that kind of was, as Maren Morris says it best, it was my church for a long time. And, you know, it's funny because I grew up in a very, very dark situation, and that's something that we can either dig in later or it's very easy to find after The Voice. I've had lots of interviews on it, but I grew up for a very large part of my life being in a very dark situation. And
it involved your father.
It did.
You don't have to get into the details.
Yeah, and it's very easy to find if you want to find the details of that. And I'm very comfortable with talking about it, too, because it's part of my story, and honestly, I feel like it's become something that I've grown to that's become part of my purpose.
Well, it's therapeutic and cathartic.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't always say that people go through some of the things that I've gone through and they necessarily come out stronger from it, and it's a hard thing to do.
It's a make or break situation.
Yes, and there's lots of directions you can turn, and I like to say I was very fortunate that I did find my faith and I had music there, and I was able to, you know, turn in a lot more right directions than wrong ones, although I did have my time where I was very wild and made a lot of bad choices. But, you know, it's one of those things that I've always loved music, and it's always been so important in my life, but because of how I grew up and where I grew up, the foundation that I had built for myself in those formative years from an internal point, I knew nothing about myself but what I was told and what I was taught and what I grew up seeing all of my life. I didn't know any different. And when you have those seeds planted so young, it's hard to change them. And it's a lot of internal work to change them. Mm-hmm. And for me, I always grew up telling myself, I love music. I wish I could do it, but I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not, you know, I didn't grow up with the life that that girl or that guy had. And it
and
always,
you didn't
everything.
Get the,
yeah.
The people who should have been giving you the encouragement were not.
Right. And I talked myself out of so much in those years. And, you know, it really took a lot of pivotal points. One was a terrible car accident that I had that made me want to live my life for me and find my faith. And that was kind of the introduction to me really diving in into finding God and doing the internal work with Him. And, you know, refiguring out my worth and figuring out what He thinks about me. And that's number one, you know? And that's what really gave me the strength to be like, I'm going to do this thing. And it's crazy. I tell everybody this. When you make a decision and you know that God is behind it, your purpose will be expedited so fast, no matter how far behind you think you are. And it was like the second I started doing music, it was like all of these things just started pouring in. I mean, it was literally
that just happened.
Yeah, exactly. You
moment
know,
in your
yeah,
life.
You just
moments, plural.
Yeah, you have to decide, put the effort in and just keep the faith, and you'd be just shocked. And you know, when you're living your purpose, I feel like things just kind of like unravel and you feel like that level of synchronicity. And that's really 100% what it was. And it was truly like me putting out a video, my town standing behind it, just being, you know, like, you are always been the karaoke girl and we've been wanting to hear you sing, we've been wanting to hear original music, do this, you know, in small town love. So they put a bunch of money together and wanted to make it happen, and I had put out a single and a music video, and it was like the next morning I woke up and it was going crazy viral, and I was like, I had, you know, 400 followers on my Facebook at the time, you know. And it was funny because I just remember being like, who are all these people watching this video? Like, I only know my small town, you know. It was weird because it was like in that moment I knew that I just needed to keep going with it. And while I was figuring out how to keep going with it, before I knew it, was 4 months later, the video had been still going viral, and I get a call from The Voice and they're like, hey, do you want to come on the show? And I'm like, what is life? Like, it just all turned in a second, and that's the power of God, and that's my testimony.
So did you have to audition, or did you?
No, I was literally like, I think if it was like 2 weeks later. I mean, I was being flown out to LA. It was mm-hmm. the craziest thing. Like,
had you ever been to LA before?
No. And it was wild. And, you know, but I can't really say. I've gone back many times since. And one of them was actually being nominated for a big award out there, which mm-hmm. was exciting. But the first time I went, I was like, if you go to LA or whatever and you're filming something, I'm just going to pre-warn you, if it's your first time, you're not going to see crap. Like, you're not going to see anything. We were completely sequestered because they don't want leaks. Right, you know, they don't want stuff. So when I tell you, like, the first month that I was there, and I think it was a total of 3, if I remember correctly, for filming, the first month that I was there, it was funny because it was like all I saw was that hotel we were staying mm-hmm. in and all the mountains, and you could see the Hollywood mm-hmm. sign from it, and I was laughing. Because I'm like, all I want to do right now is go on a hike. Like, that's all.
It's like you're a well-fed hostage.
Pretty much.
We're treating you incredibly well, but you can't leave, right?
Pretty much. And it's so funny because it really is like that. They're like, if you go out to the dining area, don't talk to anybody except the other contestants. I'm like, wow. Oh, my God. And I'm Italian. You know how hard that is?
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to tell an Italian, don't talk to people? That's all I wanted to do. I'd meet someone, I'd be like, hi, I'm, you know, and I'd be like, oh, shoot. Like, I can't say, I can't talk to you. I'm sorry.
Is Jess Lee a combination of mom and dad's names?
Jess Lee's my first name. And it's funny because my dad wanted to name me Lee, which is my mom's name, Lisa. And then my mom wanted to just always name me Jessica, and they smushed it together. And that's what I grew up being called Jessly. All of my life. Yeah.
J-E-S-S-L-E-E.
Yep. Right. Well, and then my last name, when I came out here, I mean, it's funny now because I probably wouldn't care, but I've kind of just, you know, like, lived with this decision, and I'm proud of it. But it's funny because at the time it was like, I remember being on the show and talking to some A&R people when I was first coming out here, and they'd be like, you need to drop your last name. It's too Italian. Like, it's just too Italian.
So what is
it's
your
a mouthful.
Last name?
I never use it. So okay. we can just skip over it. I've gone so long not even using it, but it's a very Italian name. That's probably easy to find, too.
You knew to Monday as the tax deadline. Those folks know your last name.
They know. Yeah.
So
they
make
know.
Sure you turn your paperwork
And
in.
It's really okay. funny, too. I know, right? And it's really funny, too, because I always say that to him. I've got a really good relationship with my CPA, actually, which is funny. We'll just sit there and be supposed to be talking about taxes, and an hour go by, and then, again, it's the Italian in me. It's very hard to shut me up. But that and my doctors are the same way. They're like, we know your last name. It was actually funny. When I was on The Voice, that was one of the things that happened, too. I had to stop in and get a steroid shot because I actually got sick on the show. So they put me in the car. They took me out there. They're like, drug her up. She's got to film. That's what they do. I mean, they'll put you on like all, you know, these IVs if they have to. But they're like, get her, you know, get her fixed up. So they send me out there. And the guy's like, I know why you're here. And he's like, and I know that you only go by your first name, but I know your last name. And I'm like, well, I know HIPAA. You can't say anything. So.
Very good.
Plus, you're creeping me out, dude.
And then I had to literally, as he proceeds to turn me around and put a steroid shot in my butt. So that was a very, very interesting, you know, sequence of events there for sure.
We're going to talk about your new home, label home, Tim Whipperman, a longtime acquaintance and friend of mine. Over at 1RPM.
Yes.
With the new single, it is out today wherever you get your music. Jess Lee is our guest, and Slow Dance Around Her, which I mentioned at the top, is rolling all over the world.
More Coffee, Country, and Cody is on WSM.
Jess Lee in studio this morning. New music available today, and you heard it just before the break there. First thing we featured was Slow Dance Around It, and you'll find out a whole lot more when you get to her website and her socials today. And you got your Facebook Live rocking with all your fans checking in.
We are. We're tuned in. We're ready to go.
Team Blake, you ultimately, after the Kelly Clarkson, Blake Shelton turn,
yes.
you chose Team Blake.
I did.
I'm curious why, and then how did that relationship develop as you went
know,
on through?
Blake is definitely, even though I've respected the fact that Kelly has so gracefully, you know, made her way into so many genres so successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I recognized that, you know, and it definitely made it a hard decision because of the fact that she's, you know, done some incredible things in mm-hmm. country music. And I consider myself also very cross-genre in a lot of ways, although I'm very, like, centric in country and my storytelling. But I love sounds. I love, you know, I love music. I love, you know, the fact that my grandparents grew up doing jazz. Like, I've always grown up with other, you know, influences. And, you know, knowing that, it was made it harder, but I think just knowing that I'm really rooted in country music mm-hmm. and being a young girl and growing up, you know, on Blake Shelton songs. I mean, like, I remember hearing Austin for the first time and just bawling my eyes out, you know, and just, you know, and I was kind of brought back to all those moments and those memories of being flooded with the fact that I've just known Blake longer in country music, you know, and I think that was kind of one of the decisions that made me sway towards that. And you know, he knows his stuff and he's great. And he's also, it doesn't hurt that he's funny. And, you know, and I didn't know it at the time, but we had Trace Adkins also come in as my mentor at the time, which was so fun too. And he was probably like one of my favorite people ever to work with. And my gosh, he's so tall. I mean, I just looked so silly standing next to him.
And Blake's tall, but he makes Blake look not
that
tall.
That was the crazy part is like, I look silly next to Blake and then he comes in and I'm literally like looking up.
Well, they're starters on our Opry basketball team. They get to play a lot, those two.
So, right, exactly.
Well, in 1995, he was sitting right where you're sitting in this studio.
I love that.
And it was his first radio opportunity after coming to Nashville right out of high school.
Yeah. Lovely mullet.
I love that.
Yeah. Lovely mullet back in the day.
Yes, he did. Oh. And he did have a mullet.
And you know what song?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The song, he did it live right here in the studio, like you're getting ready to do Drinking About You, which sounds like a Blake Shelton title, by the way.
I mean, let's keep pushing for that. I'd love for him to be on it with me.
And he sat right there and he told his story of meeting Hoyt Axton, because Hoyt was at his mom's for a few days, had the bus parked in the driveway. Mayborin Axton, who wrote Heartbreak Hotel for Elvis, his whole family, Matt Axton, his dad, Hoyt.
Yeah.
Matt was just in studio. So this whole thing came together. He said, I remember Blake was over there painting the house because she would give all these starving singer-songwriters work opportunities.
Yeah.
And said that Hoyt said, hey, come here, I want you to hear something. And he said he just kept the rhythm and tapped it out on a table and sang him Old Red for the first time.
Oh, I love that.
And then he came in here and did it live for us.
I love that.
That is Jess Lee live. Introduce your band.
Yes. I have Mr. Steve Virginia here. Everybody loves Steve, too, so hey, I'm turning over. What's up? Hey, but we have Steve Virginia here. He's incredible. He's been, honestly, it was like, he's been such a huge part of my journey. Steve was one of the first people that, when I got off the show, I had so many people coming at me, telling me what to do, you know, where to go next, trying to, you know, pick me up or bring me in for a showcase. And this guy has always kind of helped me, you know, basically guide me through this whole thing. He's been out here for, what, like 25 years now?
Well, not that long, but.
I feel like with all he knows, it
can feel that long.
With the gray hair, it feels like 25 years.
Something like that, something like that.
I'm curious, though, because under the best of circumstances, when you go from a few people knowing who you are to suddenly millions of people knowing who you are, that can mess with you, right? I mean, you talked about faith. That had to be a huge part of just kind of getting you to this point today, huh?
You know, it's weird. I should be wrong, right? Especially coming from where I come from. Mm-hmm. And like, I should have been so overwhelmed by it. And again, it's like all I can do. That's again, just another piece of like testimony to faith and the power of God and Jesus. And it's funny because it's something that I prayed over. And, you know, I believe that when it comes to luck or the things that I've been brought to, it's always been preparation meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I've been able to capitalize on the majority of things and not fall on my face. And weirdly enough, as wrong and as it should be, I felt ready when it happened. And I was, you know, not really fearful of it. And it's kind of been fun because I've been enjoying the process. And, you know, even for me, I feel like even still with my career, which is kind of the way I've always wanted it, is the slow burn. You know, it's and looking back, I mean, again, this is just my opinion. Everybody's got their own opinion. But, you know, one hit wonder, that term was invented from this industry. And I've never wanted to be that. And I've always wanted to be the person that as long as I have just continual growth and as long as, you know, I feel like it's truly God leading me in that direction, you know, I'm ready to take on kind of anything, to be honest.
Where preparation meets reality.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So when that time came, you were ready. Thanks for being with us this morning.
I
wish we
y'all
had more time.
Available new episodes of My Opry Debut, including Kid G.
Just walking in the building, walking on the stage, and stepping in the circle, doing sound check. It's everything I ever dreamed of. I never thought that I'd be here. It's such a wow for me, for them to open the doors and be like, okay, you know, you did your thing a little bit different, but we'd love to have you.
Tonight he's making his Grand Ole Opry debut. Will you welcome Kid G?
Well, my Opry debuts are available on the Opry's YouTube channel. I was talking to Jeff Robertson, Master Control there. But you can watch his full episode, Kid G's full episode, My Opry Debut. And that's Opry and the YouTube channel, Opry's YouTube channel. Which you're going to be there tonight.
I will be. Yes, wait, very fun night. Yes. Well, I love this little break in the Eagles schedule because it allows Vince to come back and see us. So he was there both shows last week, and he is there again tonight, and will be there tomorrow with Carrie Underwood for two shows as well. So you can get all the information at Opry.com. But Jeannie Seeley, Drew Parker, love Drew. What a great young singer-songwriter. Some really great success with Luke Combs songs. I guess if you have a Luke Combs song, you have great success. It goes hand in hand.
It's not going to hurt.
John Conley, Marcus King, Whisperin' Bill Anderson and his Po'Folks band. Ellie Holcomb, very excited that she's got new music. A funny, funny man, Gary Muledeer. And Vince Gill's going to wrap it up tonight all at 7 o'clock.
And Vince Gill loves Gary Muledeer.
Oh,
quotes
yes,
him.
Yes.
The first time I ever heard the anal glaucoma joke.
Was Vince.
Was Vince telling it.
But he gives him credit. He doesn't steal the joke.
Not the first time I heard
it. Okay. Oh, he did steal the joke. Okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
Well, steal from the best.
Right? It's in a town full of stealers. That's what we do. That's we just steal from each other.
We do. Yes.
Yeah. New Music Friday, Tyler Hubbard's second solo album. Yeah, I got to be with him at a Belmont event a couple of nights ago. Strong is out today. It was the Grand Ole Opry's 50 years of Belmont's music business program. The title track, Hit Man. Florida Georgia Line, they were playing the Opry, and I'm backstage, and I see all these knuckleheads from Robertson County who are my neighbors from Cope Concrete. And I said, what are y'all doing back here? How did y'all get in? And they said, oh, we know Tyler. He used to work for us. Pouring concrete? Well, that explains that physique. That cat's in shape. He's out on tour with his longtime friend, Kane Brown. They're at Allstate Arena. It's formerly the Rosemont Horizon, the old Rosemont Horizon, where DePaul would have played. It still plays, I guess, right?
Yeah. Ray Mears, the legendary coach of DePaul.
That's good, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rosemont, Illinois, tonight. New music today, also Riley Green getting the spotlight. He's got a new 7-track EP, a thing called Way Out Here. Way Out Here, that's the album. Damn Good Day to Leave is the single. Riley's got back-to-back gigs tonight and tomorrow night, Perdido Key. You'll be at the Opry in Nashville. He'll be at Perdido Key.
Very similar. I mean,
palm trees.
It's confusing. When I walk in, I just think this is Perdido Key.
Is it? and Colt Swindell, new single, Sweet Love Song, and it hits country radio today. Here's a little bit of Forever to Me. Catch Cole, his special guest Dylan Scott, next Saturday, Statesboro, Georgia, back home where he went to school at Georgia Southern and ran into Luke Bryan and then eventually started selling merch and that helped him get a record deal. And speaking of Saturday, this Saturday, tomorrow, two-show night at the Grand Ole Opry with Carrie Underwood and Vince Gill on both shows, Opry.com for tickets and information. The Opry's Connie Smith in the spotlight here, country icon, Grand Ole Opry star, 55th album, Love, Prison, Wisdom, and Heartache. And then quickly, Tractor Supply Company has teamed up with their 2024 brand ambassador, Lainey Wilson.
I'm from a farming community, a little town of 200 people. A fifth-generation farmer's daughter. I consider myself a farmer, too. It's about getting up every single day, planting those seeds, watering them, and watching them grow.
Yeah, it's a 30-second commercial that follows Lainey from her simple life on her Louisiana farm to the tour bus to taking stage as a country superstar. And Lainey's nominated for 5 awards at the upcoming ACMs. She's off to Europe in the next few days. Belfast, Glasgow, Manchester, and London. Tractor Supply Company and Lainey Wilson. Boy, what a great partnership. Headed into the weekend here on Coffee Country and Cody from the Magnolia Lobby Studio. Annie, step into the shot here for a second. This is Annie Nye. Yeah.
Camera. We're on that one. Step into that one.
Oh, that one?
Yeah,
we're on
step
8?
Step into 8, yes.
There she is. Annie Nye's first day as studio director on Coffee Country and Cody. Great job.
No one's done that since Larry Gatlin stepped in it on purpose.
Yeah, well, you remember that one morning I knew that we were on the wrong camera, but because they switched it at the last second, they didn't pick up on it. I just stayed on the wrong camera because I love that whole thing that Monty Python once did, where every time the anchor would turn to the camera, they would miss it. You're on Coffee Country and Cody, WSM Radio, all our Circle streaming platforms. The weekend, it's our next stop.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.